words of our text today are taken from the 20th chapter of St. Luke's book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And here we have the words of St. Paul spoken to the elders or the pastors of the churches of Ephesus, whom he has been instructing for 3 years before he now leaves. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was a freshman here on Bethany's campus, I went one night to a Bible study that was held in where the old chapel used to be, which would be up in kind of the admissions and bookstore area. And it was a student-led Bible study that some students had put up some posters around and said they were going to have a student-led Bible study. And I went to the Bible study, and there was maybe a circle of 15 or so of us sitting there with our Bibles open, sitting on the chapel floor. And I remember this one young lady started to kind of become the leader of the group, had a very dominating personality, and knew her Bible fairly well, and began kind of speaking with some authority about what we should be learning in our little Bible study group. And by the end of the class, she began advocating that we should try to wait for God to reveal himself to us in our thoughts or in our dreams, that God would somehow speak to us. Well, that didn't sound right to me. I knew God was capable of that, but it just didn't seem fitting with what our Lord tells us and how he warns us about those who will claim that they've spoken to God and so on. Well, I came home that night. My father was a theologian on the campus and a teacher here at the time. I came home for supper that night, or the next day, I think it was, when I met my dad for lunch, and I said, "You know, this is what came up at Bible study last night. What do you think about that?" And he said, "You know, when I was here on campus back in the 40s, there used to be these student-led Bible studies too. They usually wanted to study the book of James, our works, or the book of Revelation, because it's so interesting and fascinating." And he said, "So rarely the focus is really on Christ and what his word truly says to us." And then he said something to me that I remembered. He said, "There is a reason why Jesus has established that there should be pastors. There's a reason why Christ has deemed it necessary for his church, not just optional, but necessary for his church to have shepherds that take care of the flock. Do we really need pastors to know about God? Do we really need shepherds to take care of us? And if we do need them, what kind of shepherds are we supposed to look for? What should we try to find?" Notice in our text how important the office of oversight is in the church, as St. Paul speaks to these elders, these pastors, who are leading these congregations. He says, "Take heed to yourselves. Be careful, watchful of what you're doing. And to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." The Holy Spirit is the one who through the church establishes these positions among us. He says, "To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." We're dealing with souls here that Christ went to the cross for. And then he says, "Watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." You think this was important to Paul? How many things do you warn somebody about with tears in your eyes? This is serious stuff. What he's dealing with here has eternal consequences for human souls, where they may spend eternity, having to do with what voices they're listening to in this life and in this world. Paul is not just giving us some advice about how to try to resolve doctrinal differences and as if it's some kind of battle that we have with each other. He's not simply talking about what type of church body that we should be in. He's talking about matters of eternal consequence. It's interesting when you think about sheep. They're probably the most timid and helpless creatures that there are. It's hard to think of another form of prey for a larger animal that would be easier to attack and harm than a sheep. When Jesus uses the imagery of sheep to talk about us in our spiritual lives, he doesn't do that to give us warm fuzzies about thinking about being lambs. He's talking about how easily misled we can be, how easy it is for us to carelessly wander off into danger, and how badly then we need his direction and his care through his word. And so Christ himself has established an office of oversight to care for the flock by the use of his word. And he wants those who now teach and preach that word to others to be well trained in it so that they themselves guide the sheep in the way that is ultimately for their eternal good. That's why St. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Study to show yourself approved." The church, in its wisdom through the years, has developed a process we refer to as ordination, as kind of like the way that the church now marks this one as having studied and been approved, is now able to go out and teach and to lead a flock of sheep as a way of marking those who have now the capacity, or the abilities and the training to be in this office. Now, we must always distinguish, of course, still between very good earthly shepherds and the good shepherd. There have been very many good earthly shepherds in this world, and we see them in Scripture too, who maybe have taught well and led the congregations well, and likewise have maybe even at times had to suffer for the sake of their flock. But none of them has had to suffer the hell of their sheep. None of them has had to go to the cross for them. Only the good shepherd himself has done that, to purchase heaven for the sheep. And that very good shepherd now has established this office beneath himself, where those who go and preach and teach his word distribute the benefits that he won on the cross into people's daily lives, so that we can benefit and receive the benefits of his vicarious atonement for us. Now, St. Paul, in our text, is still warning us, and even the elders, these pastors in Ephesus, that it's possible even for shepherds, in fact, even some of them, he says, to ultimately mislead people away from Christ. In other words, the church itself and the leaders of the church are not above error. Even Peter himself, one of Christ's disciples, was not above error. Paul had to chastise him, as we read in the book of Galatians. Paul also wrote to the Galatian congregations that there were teachers arising in their church. Before we leave the New Testament era, we see this, teachers arising in the church that were trying to add something to the gospel, trying to give people the impression that it was more than just what Christ did on the cross that would get them to heaven. They had to do something else. St. John, to his readers, writes warning them about teachers that were coming around inside of Christian churches who were already changing who Christ was, denying his human nature, known as the Gnostics. You see, the devil knows Scripture very well. The devil knows Christian doctrine very well. He has a doctorate in theology. He understands what it takes. He knows how important Christ is to us. He now knows how important it is for us to hold on to Christ alone for our hope of heaven. And so any way that he can infiltrate the church, especially if he can do it through its leaders, if he can get in the mind and heart of a shepherd under Christ to get them to slowly maybe, mislead a flock away from what the good shepherd wants, then he's won the day. Notice, St. Paul doesn't say savage wolves might come. He says they will come. There will be challenges to us in our faith. Now, let's just consider some things that we know about false prophets from the Scriptures, from what our Lord and St. Paul and others teach us. False prophets will be very convinced of their teachings. They will be very sincere in their teachings. David Koresh was willing to burn to death for his doctrine. They will also know the scriptures very well. I've studied some cults where they have up to 9 hours a day in Bible study. We also know that they will gather many of the sheep of Christ at their feet. They will also claim Christ as their Lord, and they will quote his word. They will also speak some truth, maybe even the majority of the time. And they can even perform at times some pretty amazing things that almost appear to be miraculous. These are all things that Christ and the apostles warn us about, that false prophets will have the ability and characteristics to be and do. And yet, still be false shepherds. So how important it is for us to have well-trained clergy that have studied the Word of God and to understand not just what the Bible says, but how it fits together, how the doctrines fit together to support one another. And also how important it is for us to have well-trained lay people to keep an eye on their shepherds and to watch and make sure that what they're feeding us is always good. And I'd like to say this to the seminarians today. It was taught to me in seminary years ago, and I'm sure your instructors have said this to you too. How important it is for you to teach your confirmands not to have any allegiance to you or to your church or even to your church body, because all of those things can stray. And someday, every church body will ultimately stray. Teach our people to have an allegiance to Christ and his word and to the doctrine, the truth that is found in that word. May we, by God's grace, be guided and cared for by good shepherds to take care of us. May we appreciate and treasure this precious office that our Lord has established because it is for our eternal good. And may we, through their work, never lose sight of the wonderful hope of heaven that we have in Christ our Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, thy power make known, for thou art Lord of lords alone. Defend thy Christendom that we may evermore sing praise to thee. Amen. Please rise. Today we offer a special prayer on behalf of one of our students, Aaron Niemeyer, who is suffering with scoliosis and this summer will need to undergo back surgery. We pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your child, Aaron, and we pray that you would help him and comfort him and be with him in this time of difficulty, and if it is your will, that you would relieve his pain. We also pray that you will now grant wisdom and ability to those who will provide him with medical care, that he may once again recover from this and be restored again according to your gracious will. Above all, we pray that you would keep him and all of us under the care of Christ, our good shepherd, in whose name we pray. Amen. We continue with the final verse of our hymn.